The Tom Woods Show, episode 900.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Folks, today's show is brought to you by the good folks at Casper. Get $50 toward any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/woods and using promo code WOODS. Hello, everybody. Tom Woods here. How about that? Episode 900. Wow. Pretty good. So my thanks to everybody for listening consistently and for spreading the word about the show and sharing it on social media and helping me to grow the audience. I really appreciate that. I want to say before we get to our guest today, something that I forgot to mention when I had Eric Brakey on the show several episodes ago. He's the state senator in Maine who is a Ron Paul guy. And he told me, I just forgot to mention it, that one of the bills that he managed to get through in Maine was a right to try bill, which is a bill that says if you're more or less if you have a terminal illness, but there's some potentially life-saving medication that hasn't yet gone through the full FDA approval process, you can nevertheless give it a try because obviously what have you got to lose, right? You would think this would be obvious. Of course, with the U.S. government, it's not obvious, but they passed this in Maine, and Eric was the guy. And he told me that he first heard about this kind of bill on the Tom Woods Show when we talked about it in one of the episodes on the 10th Amendment Center, and that this had been successful in a number of other states, so he decided to give it a try. So how about that, right? I mean, that's a great thing. Somebody's life could be saved from that. So that's wonderful. Very glad to know about that. Well, today, it being episode 900, I thought, you know, on the contrary, I've just said something about politics. Let's have an episode that does not involve politics for episode 900 so that we can emphasize that politics is not everything. And the fact that the world is all screwed up does not have to screw you up. You can still lead a productive and prosperous life. And my guest today was recommended to me by a listener. And this guest, whose name is Gons Trevino, has started about a half dozen successful businesses. He owns a lot of property as well. He's a really young guy. He grew up in Mexico up till he was in his early 20s. And he actually does some work with Jason Stapleton, the libertarian podcaster I've told you about before. I've had Jason on the show, and he's had me on his show. And Gons is just one of these people who seems to be good at everything he does, including a brand new charity he's just started up that you're actually going to find very interesting and compelling. Gons, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tom.
You got quite a story, and I want to hear the whole thing. You've been very successful, and you've done all kinds of things that I find interesting. Even in your childhood, the fact that you were doing potato chip arbitrage is amazing to me. So you're going to have to tell that story. But give me the, let's say, 35,000 feet in the air overview of your life, because you were born in Mexico, moved to the U.S., and you have just blossomed and exploded in terms of productivity and accomplishment, both in professional life and elsewhere. Let's give me the bird's eye view, and then let's get into the weeds.
Absolutely. So that's actually a little bit of a misconception. So I was actually born in Texas, and I was born in Brownsville, Texas. And when I was about 10, 11 months old, just under a year old, my parents moved to Mexico. So anything that I can remember, I was in Mexico, but I actually was born in America, which was nice because when I moved back, it was really easy since I was a citizen. So I grew up in Mexico up until my early 20s. I was going to college at the time in Brownsville, Texas, and living in Matamoros, Mexico. So I was crossing the bridge every single day to go to school. Around that time is when my entrepreneur, I guess, adult life kicked in. I always feel like I've been an entrepreneur my whole life. Eventually, I got married here in the United States, met a wonderful girl from Houston, married her, and through moving here and there, I now wind up living in Texas full time. I've managed to start a couple of businesses. I've got six under my belt now. I just launched a charity too that I'm really excited about. And really my goal is, and everything that I did was for the purpose of having full control over my own life. And I feel like I can do that best by starting my own businesses and being independent.
would you describe yourself as having come from modest beginnings or from privileged so-called beginnings?
I would say, so if my parents were American, I would say they'd be considered middle class. It's a little different in Mexico because the class system's all sideways over there. But if I was American, I would have had the very similar upbringing to a middle class American.
Okay. Now, a lot of people who have upbringings, middle class upbringings like me, have no entrepreneurial mindset whatsoever. I had nothing like that. I just thought I do the following things that everybody else does, and then I seek a job the way everybody else does, and doing the sort of thing you do, well, that's something other people do. I don't do that. It's magical people who have some magical insight into the world who do that. You know, and it took me years and years and years to become independent and to make my own way. So I'm fascinated by people who kind of did it from the beginning. Now, I know you started in sales and you were really, really good at that. In fact, let's start there. Tell us your sales background. How did you become the number one salesperson in the whole country for Cutco Cutlery? Well, what do you attribute that to?
So around when I was 20, I started selling Cutco knives. And that was more based out of needing something to do. You know, I was 20 years old, was bored, was in college. My parents really wanted me to get working. I didn't want to, but, you know, Cutco was a nice compromise because at that point, it was something that I could still kind of do on my own while making money. I didn't have a strict schedule. You kind of build your own schedule, build your own appointments. I did really well with it. I honestly went in blind, not knowing how I was going to do, and had some pretty good immediate success. I did take a 4-year hiatus after doing it for about a summer, maybe 3-4 months, something like that. Took a 4-year hiatus, did some odd jobs in the middle. I came back in 2012, now married and needing to pay bills. And so I came back to it with the intention of just working a little bit of Cutco, making some sales on the side, using it to supplement my income while I figure out what to do as a career. And so as I was doing that, I was working Cutco and then trying to do other stuff. And the more I realized, hey, when I'm doing Cutco, I'm making more money. And so I just became 2012 became a year where I was going to do it on the side. By the end of the year, I was doing it full time. 2013, my second full year since I came back, I was breaking records. I broke 2 national records that year. I won a couple cool competitions and stuff. And then I believe 2015, flash forward 2 years later, was when I became the number one salesperson in Cutco of all time in a calendar year. First person to sell over $1 million in Cutco sales. And how I did it, the honest and most simple explanation is I created a lot of systems. I hired people. I had as much help and leverage as I could. And I just focused on my database and focused on my book of business and just went at it really, really hard. Honestly, I was working. I was killing myself about 90, 100-hour weeks every week. I don't think I took a day off that year. And if I did, it was probably because I passed out for a full Sunday and just woke up the next day or something.
So was it more raw effort or as opposed to some special insight as to how to make the sale?
I would say raw effort, but with a lot of structure and planning behind it, hiring some people. I had some assistants help me with paperwork. I did hire some assistants to help me call clients and, you know, weed through the good prospects and the not so good prospects, the cold and the hot leads. And it really helped me narrow myself down where I could focus on what was generating me the most, you know, the most sales. You know, they call it the 80-20 principle. I'm sure you heard of the Pareto's principle. They say 20% of what you do will lead to 80% of your results. So I think one thing that I was really good at is I was very good at focusing on what was valuable in my business and ignoring all the stuff that wasn't. And so all the things that I could leverage, hire somebody to do, I hired out or I found help with or I ignored. And then the 20% of the things that were the most valuable, that's what I focused on. And I stayed really, really concentrated on that.
How do you go from being the number one salesman to saying, you know, even though I'm on top of my game and I'm on top of the world, I think I'm going to go out on my own and I'm going to start my own businesses, which you have done multiple times now.
So basically, one of the things that I love about Cutco is that I could create my own schedule. I was completely independent salesperson, right? I got paid fully on commission. So in a way, I really was just had my own business already. I had some experience in starting my own business. I hired my own staff and I trained my own staff. I did predominantly everything by myself. So at this point, I realized, you know what? I believe I can do anything. I've come to, you know, I've gained a lot of personal growth through this experience that I can leverage into creating other sustainable businesses. So the next thing that I started was investing in real estate. I'm in the process of purchasing my sixth investment property. So I own rental houses, I buy houses, and then I rent them out. And it's something that I'm very passionate about because it helps build what I mentioned earlier that I really, really value, which is financial freedom, personal liberty, the ability to do what I want. My total dream is to wake up on a January 1st and know that whether or not I decide to work that year, I'm completely covered for the entire year. I can go to sleep in December 31st and I'll be financially better off whether or not I worked, just based on all the investments and everything I have coming in. Now I enjoy working, so I'll probably find a way to keep myself busy, but there's a difference between working for fun and working because you have to.
Yeah, there sure is, isn't there? Yeah, there sure is. So, all right, so let's talk about what would you say right now is the most profitable thing you do?
The most profitable thing I do. You know, it's crazy because if you'd be interviewing me in a year, I might have a better answer. But right now, I'm in a very interesting transitional phase where I've got about three or four things that are all about the same. And I'm in a personal debate right now with myself and my wife about which businesses we should focus on and which businesses we should grow. So we definitely want to keep my Cutco business going. I just launched a magazine as well in San Antonio, here where I live. So that's pretty exciting. It's a trade publication, and that's, you know, we've got a lot of sponsors on board. I've got my rental houses, of course. So we really have a lot of moving pieces. I have an inspection company that I'm also launching here pretty soon. That's not launched yet, but pretty soon we'll be launching an inspection company, and we've got an awesome blueprint on how to grow that. I've got two business partners already lined up. So there's a lot of stuff. And I think if you'd asked me this in a year, I'd have a much better answer. But the most honest answer right now is there's a lot of stuff that's all competing very evenly at the moment.
Well, fair enough. Now, you actually work for Jason Stapleton.
I would say something close to that. What I do have a online t-shirt shop, and I do Jason Stapleton's t-shirt shop for him.
Yeah, right. I mean, I phrased that badly, but you know what I mean. Yeah, so
yeah.
I've had people asking me about what I want to do merchandise for my show, and my feeling is I have so many plates I'm spinning right now that if I added one more thing, I don't know how I would promote it. I mean, I barely am able to. Well, I've got a cruise. I've got a homeschool curriculum. I've got my Liberty Classroom. I've got my supporting listeners program. I've got my books. I've got the podcast. I've got my ebooks. I've got my entrepreneurship list. If I had to promote one more thing, I don't know how I do. In fact, I have a friend who has proposed a print magazine under my name. And I said, I wouldn't be able to promote it. I've got too much going on. No one could keep up with all these things. So that's why I've shied away from it. And also, I don't know, maybe I just find it too weird that somebody would walk around wearing a hat with my name on it. I'm not sure I'm ready for that.
Right. Well, there's two things you can do. Number one, you can have me do all the work. I can split the profits with you. It's whatever you want, right? You got to think like an entrepreneur. If you just slap it on your website, mention out your show once a month, maybe an email once a month, you'd be surprised. You'd get a little bit of extra coming in, but it's not for everyone. That's the truth. If it is something, you know, you could keep it away from your name. You could just have designs that are about liberty, right? Or you could have designs that are about being an entrepreneur. So there's really a lot of ways that you can skin that cat.
Man, so you already know the objections. That's good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So how'd you get to know Jason Stapleton? Because I obviously know him.
Well, the very short version is he was the first libertarian podcast I started following. His podcast actually guided me to yours. And basically, at the time, so I was always, I'm going to say apolitical is going to be a nice way to put it. So I've always been very entrepreneur driven. And so I like economics because of starting businesses. I like learning about economics. inevitably, if you're going to learn about economics, you wind up learning about politics because they're very interconnected. So through learning about economics, I'd bump into political podcasts. I've always been a very big believer in a free market type principles, small government, and I love individual responsibility and liberty. So if you want to understand what I think about that, that's the shortest definition I can give. So while I was learning about politics, in order to learn more about economics, I bumped into Jason's show and I loved it. So joined Jason's, community and reached out to him when he actually said it in his podcast, I need somebody to run a t-shirt shop for me. And I was like, I could do that. And so my team got on it. We designed it on a weekend, spent a whole Saturday and Sunday working on it, but that's all it took. And now it runs automatic. So it's pretty exciting. And the truth is, I know Jason as far as maybe one Skype call and some Facebook private messages, and that's about it.
Well, how about that? Now, I'm looking at the – before we go on with your life now, can you tell that story about the potato chips? I just love that story.
Yeah. I've got a couple funny ones from when I'm a kid. It's funny. My dad just told me one that I think is really funny, and it's perfect because he just told me recently, and it really puts a light on the type of personality that I've always had. So apparently my dad was telling me, he was laughing. He came to visit. My parents still live in Mexico. They came to visit me in San Antonio. And he was talking about how when I was in sixth grade and I was going to school, I'd have my housekeeper. We had a housekeeper at the time. And I would have her make us I would have her make me like 8 or 9 tacos to go to school for lunch. And my dad approached her when he's like, are you really making Gonzalo 8 tacos to go to school? She's like, yeah, he keeps asking for them. So my dad comes up to me and I go, oh, no, I'm only eating like 2 or 3. I'm selling the other tacos for $1 each. And then I'm buying the food at the school that I want to eat and then profiting like $3. So I was asking them to make me a bunch of tacos, taking them to school and selling them to the other kids.
Okay, yeah. So if people were observing you then, they had to know where your life was headed at that point, I think.
I don't know. I think we were too little to really even.
No, that's amazing that you would think to do that.
So the chips one is also a good one. So I'll go over that one. So when I was, this was like second or third grade when I was doing this, maybe fourth grade latest. So I was really little. So when I was in school, I realized that my school sold chips, right? Just regular generic potato chips. I used to be in tennis lessons at the time. My parents put me in tennis lessons. My mom loved tennis. She was a big competitive tennis player when she was, younger. So she thought I should learn it. She put me in tennis lessons when I was a kid. So when I would go to my tennis lessons, they had a store, a little shop there that sold potato chips as well. When I saw the prices of those potato chips, I realized they were about half the price of the potato chips in my school. So I put together $1 or $2. I remember I bought a handful of potato chips at my tennis lessons at the little shop at the tennis classes. And then I would take those potato chips, stuff them in my backpack and go to school. And then I would open up my backpack and sell them to the kids. And I did that for a couple of weeks and they caught me. They actually got mad at me. And I remember them taking to my mom and they said, your son can't be doing this. And I think my parents were secretly really proud, but they were like, yeah, you can't do that. And so they actually nipped that one in the bud. But it was pretty funny how the school thought it was such a bad thing that I was going around selling chips. I was undercutting them on their potato chips.
Yeah, that – I love that. I absolutely love that. I mean, you're fulfilling a market function. An arbitrage guy is – anyway, what's the point? Pearls before swine, right? Trying to explain this stuff to people. I'm looking at some notes that I got when we first contacted you, and you wrote this. Since then, I now own 6 businesses and a charity I'm very passionate about, so I want to get to that in a minute. I also own 6 houses I rent out, will be buying an apartment complex soon. I have a business where I purchase products overseas and distribute them all over the U.S. I have a business where I coach young entrepreneurs. I have a business where I sell graphic t-shirts online. Last but not least, I have a business where I do a monthly magazine to the top real estate agents in San Antonio and Austin, so we talked about that. I guess the fundamental question I want to ask you is, it's almost like there's a different way of thinking between somebody who does these things and somebody like me up until about 6 or 7 years ago. I mean, I couldn't conceive of doing any of these things. I always thought to myself implicitly that other people who have some kind of special opportunities or do this. I mean, even as a free market guy, I still had this kind of deep-seated idea that somebody like you just had things handed to him somehow. Like that you were either you were in different circumstances or you were a different kind of person. But these were all things I just couldn't do. I so couldn't do them. I never even reproached myself for not doing them. I never said, oh, if only I could be an entrepreneur. I just wasn't in the right place at the right time. I mean, really, I think that's the way I thought. I think that's the way a lot of people think. So if you coach young entrepreneurs, well, I don't know if you ever get to them before they become entrepreneurial, but suppose you did. What would you say to them to get them out of the conventional mentality of, I'm going to go to school, I'm going to sit by the phone, I'm going to get an offer, I'm going to get a paycheck and hope it doesn't go away?
No, absolutely. And just so you know, a lot of people think that, you know, people like me, people like you, and all these people that have success, that they received it based on something that was, you know, either luck or it was handed to them, and not that they earned it. There's this funny quote that I've always loved that says, it takes 10 years to become an overnight success. And that's so true, because you don't know that the journey that everyone went through. You know, I'm 29 years old and I'm a self-made millionaire at this point. And I've basically sacrificed my entire 20s. All my friends growing up from high school, everybody I know, they've got to do a lot of things they really enjoy. And I've sacrificed a lot of the things that I've wanted to do in my 20s for essentially my entire rest of my future. Now, the beautiful part is I'm also now creating a lifestyle where I'll be able to do a lot of the things that other people can't now. So I find it worth it. But the truth is, it came with a lot of sacrifices and a lot of sleepless nights. You know the drill. But it's funny, because a lot of people think that a lot of this gets handed to us, and you know, nothing could be further from the truth. You know, when I finally moved out of my parents' house, I was getting married to my wife. I moved out only with the money that I had earned myself. You know, I had some savings. I'd done a little bit of work already. I moved out with the savings that I had, and that's it. I started from scratch and made it to where I am today. And you know, it's funny, you talked about the mentality as well. You know, how can somebody conceive about doing something like this without, I guess, the risk and the uncertainty? You got to make your own paychecks. You never have anything steady. If you don't work, you don't get paid. So how do you survive in a world where, you know, you're fully responsible? And, you know, it sounds really good now that I'm 29 and I've built a lot of this. But when I first started, I was making like maybe 20, 30,000 a year on my own. That means 1 month I could have made 5,000, but in the second month I might make nothing. And so paying the bills definitely becomes a legitimate concern, right? So for me, I've never even able to conceive of the opposite, right? I've never actually been able to conceive of a life where I didn't have this sort of freedom and flexibility. And I even tried it. So I make a joke. I actually got a job once. I worked at a coffee shop for 3 days. I got hired, worked there, and in 3 days I quit. That was my first job ever. It was a coffee shop for 3 days. I couldn't stand it. I was being told what to do all day. It was driving me nuts. And that's actually about a week later was when I started selling Cutco. I signed up to Cutco as an independent contractor, and the rest is history. But it's funny because, you know, as you meet a lot of these young entrepreneurs and people that want to have this mentality, I think there's certain people that are just born with the innate desire to be self-starters. And there's some people that want it but are a little bit afraid. And I think, you know, kind of massaging the space in between, helping people, guide them from, you know, the mentality of that 9-to-5 or I have to have this steady paycheck to, hey, when you are your own boss, when you start your own businesses, or when you work on commission, or when you have a sales business, whatever it is, there is no ceiling. And if you get a job that pays you $20 an hour, that's what you're going to make, $20 an hour. The only way to earn more money is to sacrifice more hours. But when you have your own business, there is no limit. You can create your business to be profitable enough to make you $20 an hour, but then you increase your systems, you find more customers, you build a better website, you have better leverage, better staff, whatever it is. And all of a sudden your $20 an hour business is now making you $45 for every hour that you invest. And then the dream is you get to a point where your business is making you those $40, $60, $100 an hour, but you're not even having to work on it anymore. You've hired the staff to take over the necessary day-to-day tasks that you need to do, and you can focus on other stuff. And that's sort of where I am with some of these. I can focus on growing other businesses because some of them are now automatic, and the ones that aren't may require minimum amount of input from me as well. So I think that it's one of those things that it changed my life to be an entrepreneur. And I think that everybody has the opportunity out there. I moved to the United States officially to live here for the rest of my life because I saw the opportunity. And I think people take that for granted. I really do. I think the United States is such an amazing place with an abundant amount of opportunity. There's so much money to be made here. There's so many voids in the market. And I think that anybody who wants to be successful in America can absolutely do it.
Gons, let's take just a quick break to thank one of the best companies in the world. Folks, imagine this. You create a product and it gets over 20,000 reviews with an average of 4.8 stars. Would you think you were onto something? Well, that's what the Casper mattress people have managed to do. And a mattress is something you spend one third of your life on. So you're going to want to get this right. And you're thinking, Woods, I can't order a mattress online. Of course you can. They send it to you in this box where you say, how do they fit this mattress in this box? And they give you 100 nights risk-free in your home. If you don't love it, they'll come pick it up and refund you everything. The Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress at an excellent price. It combines supportive memory foams to create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. Free shipping and returns to the U.S. and Canada. You're running out of excuses here. Designed, developed, and assembled in the USA. And we're giving you $50 toward any mattress purchase when you visit Casper.com. That's C-A-S-P-E-R. Casper.com/Woods. And you use promo code Woods. Tell me about the Rise Up Foundation.
Absolutely. So I will say that is a very new project at this point. So early 2017, at this point, it's an early project. We are hoping to, so my goal with this is to essentially take young kids, so 18, 19 year old, fresh off the foster care system or from a poor family, lives, you know, maybe making under $20,000, $30,000 a year, and just graduated high school. And we want to sponsor them through trade school. So we want to raise funds to cover all their costs through trade school. And the reason that we figured out is typically a graduate from a trade school is very competitive with a master's degree, except instead of taking 6 to 7 years of their life and putting them often in six figures worth of debt, a trade school will usually take 6 to 9 months and can offer similar financial benefits. So you have these kids, you know, from a poor family that can come out making $40,000, $50,000, maybe $60,000 a year after 6 months. You know, we raise the funds to cover their costs through the training program, and they can come out as, you know, dental assistants, plumbers, welders, electricians, AC repairmen, whatever it is. And now they're lifting, literally rising up out of poverty. They're helping lift their family. If they were from the foster care system, then they can be on their own instead of turning to homelessness or anything like often happens. And we can really help impact these kids' lives.
Well, that's really amazing. And it's a great, I mean, it fits in with everything you and I believe. And I know that it's not a major part of your life, but I know that, you know, you and I think very similarly. And I love the fact that before we went on, you said, you know, politics is not really that central to my life. And I thought, yep, that's exactly why I want you to be on episode 900, you know, because we can't, you know, you read history and it's all presidents and whatever, you know, and I'm as guilty of that as anybody because I want to chronicle wickedness a lot of the time. But at the same time, I want to chronicle goodness, right? And you are a great example of that. How would people find out about the Rise Up Foundation?
Yeah, absolutely. So they can follow us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/riseupfoundation.com. It's actually DOTCOM. They have to write it in. They can find me personally as well if they search the same thing, and they search on Instagram at Business with Gons. It's all written out together. So Business with Gons, and they can find me directly as well.
All right. So is there any other link you'd like to throw out there? Because you got so much going on. If people would like to find out about it, particularly your entrepreneurship stuff, please let us know.
Yeah, thank you. Absolutely. So you guys can follow me on Instagram. That would be a great one. It's at Business with Gons. It's BUSINESSWITHGONZ. Business with Gons. You can follow my charity also on Instagram at riseupfoundation.com. And the .com is written out, so it's DOTCOM. And you can follow my charity as well on Facebook at www.facebook.com/riseupfoundation.com, written the same exact way.
All right. I will try to get all those things up on the show notes page, which is an easy one to remember, everybody. It's tomwoods.com/900. So no excuse not to check out Gons. Well, congratulations on all your success. Thanks for coming here to tell us about it. Hope it inspires some people to say, you know, if this guy can do it, you know, why can't I? So that's the question we want everybody asking. And I'm glad you were here to help provoke it in people's minds. Thanks again.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, folks, a few things to tell you about. First thing, one of my listeners has started a podcast that some of you may find interesting. You'll find it at artificiallyintelligent.tech. And the name of it is Artificially Intelligent. The gist of the podcast is it's for people who are interested in learning about artificial intelligence and machine learning, its applications, its impact, people who don't have a technical background but are intrigued by this. And he approaches the podcast with business people in mind or non-technical workers who may be looking for ways to apply this technology or who may be concerned about the impacts it'll have on employment. So episode titles, for example, include Future-Proofing Your Job. Well, who wouldn't want to listen to that? Or Will Democracy Survive the AI Revolution? They're looking there at an article in Scientific American about the dangers of government misuse of artificial intelligence and the potential impact it could have on the way government is run, the way elections are run. Lots of really interesting stuff here over at artificiallyintelligent.tech. I'm going to link to that, as the listener website mentioned, at tomwoods.com/900. Remember, you get all these neat bonuses, and I'll give you a nice shout out for your website if you get your hosting through my link, and you get a lot of other great bonuses too. Check out the details at tomwoods.com/publicity. Second thing I want to tell you about is we actually are in the middle of figuring out how the 1,000th episode is going to go. I am pretty much determined to do a live event in Orlando sometime in September. The precise details are being worked out right now. I have a discussion thread going in the Supporting Listeners secret Facebook group, entry to which is via supportinglisteners.com. And it sounds like a number of people will want to go, which is good. I'll have a special dinner for the supporting listeners beforehand, but then we're just going to have, I'm trying to come up with exactly how it's going to work. We're going to have an amazing event live with special guests coming down to do a live recording on stage. We're picking out a venue at the moment. It's going to be great. I will keep you posted on this, and we'll see what we can do. I think it should be a really good time. I'll have some kind of landing page or something with details and stuff as soon as I have those details. So if you were thinking of, you know, coming to visit the Orlando attractions at one point or another, well, you can make a weekend of it, because my plan is to do this event on a Friday night. Then you have the whole weekend. You can make a little vacation out of it. Are you now thinking maybe you might want to do this, particularly if you're not able to come on the Contra Cruise, which I find almost impossible to believe that somebody would not come on the Contra Cruise. But this is the next best thing, right? Come on down to episode 1000. So more details to come. I hope to see you there in Orlando in September. And I certainly hope I'll see you right here tomorrow for episode 901.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.